for having me back here. It's twice in 1 year. I mean, you guys should be sick of me by now, right? I'm excited to get back here. A lot has happened since I was here last. We've led mission teams to multiple different countries. My family's been gone all summer. That's why they're not with me here today. So they're catching some rest while I'm here with you guys. And just in about 2 weeks, my whole family gets to go back to Nepal, the place that Jennifer and I fell in love with first, the place where God grabbed our hearts first. And we get to take our kids back there after a 2-year hiatus. They haven't been in a couple years, and so they're a little bit older. Hopefully that means their immune systems will hold up. If you'll be praying for us on that one, last time both of them got sick in Nepal pretty badly, and both of them ended up visiting hospitals. So that's always interesting in a place away from home. But if you guys will pray for that, I'd appreciate it. And I just want to I want to tell you this morning, you know, I kind of jokingly was like, no, it's a surprise a minute ago when they were like, what's the name of the sermon? But it's a prayer for the church. And it's something that's been on my heart for a little while, and something that I hope speaks to you individually and collectively. But let me go ahead and start out with prayer. Father God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for bringing us to Beachside. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy on us each day. Father, I pray today that you will hear our prayers, that you will move among us and in us. Father, that you will lead us to do more and greater and better and bigger, but also just more focused on you, not on us. Father, I pray that you will speak to each of us directly this morning. You'll speak to our hearts, that you'll move us to action. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Show you a picture of our family. This is kind of an updated picture. This is from Panama this summer. In June, we led a team there, a great team of people that went to serve the lost in Panama. Right after that, my family and I went to Fiji. And so it's been a kind of a wild summer, lots of tropical places, you know, nothing wrong with that. Little beach time, but a lot of time serving people who desperately need Jesus. If you want to follow along, if you want to take notes, if you want to connect with us, in the YouVersion Bible app, there's a way you can do that and click kind of the bottom right after you open the app. You can select the Beachside event, and it'll give you a place. It'll show you all the slides. It'll give you a place to take notes. It also has links to our family, to support our family, to connect and see what Man of Worldwide is doing around the world, what God's doing through the organization, and then Beachside links and stuff are there as well. So if you all want to jump into that, you can. But I'll share kind of my prayer for the church this morning, and it's, you know, it's interesting that throughout the Bible, we see these prayers that people share. We see these just incredible, you know, I think of Nehemiah and his weeping and praying over the rebuilding of the wall. I think of Jesus praying in the garden. I think of just all these incredible prayers that are spoken throughout the Bible. And I sometimes worry that I get so busy in what we do that I don't take time to speak a desperate prayer. That I don't take the time to ask God for what I need, for what I want, for what I hope for. And so I know our attention spans are short sometimes, so I wanted to start out with the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And this is John 11:35. And really, it speaks more about Jesus wept. This is during the time when Lazarus, his friend, was dying and then died. When his sisters were hurting. When people were weeping and crying all around. And Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus didn't weep because he was worried about the situation, did he? Jesus didn't weep because, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus knew. It's funny, right after I was reading through this the other day, I saw a pastor post on Facebook, because I don't know, Facebook, That's where we get our news these days, right? I saw a pastor post on Facebook, and he was talking about this exact story. And he says, Jesus didn't weep over what he didn't know. He wept over people in need. He wept over people hurting. But Jesus didn't need to heal Lazarus because he wanted to resurrect him. Jesus sometimes doesn't need to heal every little hurt that we have because he wants to resurrect in us something completely different, something completely new and unexpected, something the world has never seen. So Jesus wept over those in need, church. May we weep over those in need. I'm going to say a lot of may we throughout this sermon this morning. Romans 12:15. The verse says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Church, may we follow Jesus in our sympathy. Jesus had sympathy for people. He felt bad for the situation that they were going through. He knew that he was going to do something, but he still felt for them as a human. May we follow Jesus in our sympathy, our empathy, and in our actions towards those in need of the gospel, of food, of water, of shelter, and of hope. Man, may we follow Jesus in that way, church. May that be our prayer today, that we would follow Jesus in this, if nothing else, that we would love people, that we would serve people, that we would feel for people, that we would have a heart for people. May we follow Jesus in that way. And then in 1 Corinthians 13:1, the Bible says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Cymbal. Well, that's a hard word to say. Let us not be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It says, if I could speak all the language of the earth, if I could do all these things, if I could speak to anybody, anywhere, if I could do all these things, but I didn't love people, I'm missing it. You know, I think sometimes we can get so busy in our lives. We can get so connected in our church. I was here early this morning. I don't know where you were, but... Right, but I was here early this morning and watching everybody kind of running around setting up because, I mean, I didn't know what to do anyway. So I was going to be of no service, so I was just watching everyone work. But watching people setting up, we're all busy. We all have stuff to do, right? We all have a job to do. We go home and we take care of kids and we take care of our families and we take care of our house and we take care of our job and we try to read the Bible and we try to pray and we come to church and we have all this stuff that we do. But let us not forget, church, that if we do all those things, if we check all the boxes, if we mark everything off of our to-do list today, which never happens to me, I don't know about you, but we don't love people, we're not following Jesus. Jesus loved people. Jesus loved God first. He loved why he was here. He loved what God sent him on a mission to do, to save people. He says, second to that, that we should love others, right? May we follow Jesus. May we not become so concerned with helping those in need that we forget to love them first. I was in a MANA staff meeting this week, and just, you know, all these people sitting in there, and most of them have been around for longer than me as far as MANA, and I got asked to share a devotional, which is nerve-wracking, first of all, because, you know, like, I consider the people that I work with, at least most of them, I consider to be kind of heroes of the faith. Like, I can see what these people do, and I really just aspire to do something great as well. I really just aspire to do something for God in God's name for people around the world so that God is glorified, not me. And I look around the room, and I'm sharing, really, this prayer. And I say, may we not become so concerned with helping those in need, with feeding kids even, that we forget to love them first. Man, that hits home. Because we, I mean, Manna Worldwide, I don't know how much everybody remembers about us. Everybody slept since I was here last. But I mean, we work with about 20,000 kids around the world somewhere every day. While I'm here preaching, there are kids being fed throughout Asia. There are kids being fed in Africa, in the Middle East, in Central America, in South America, in Mexico, and around the United States even. There are lots of kids being fed and helped. And I think we can all look at that and go, wow, like that's great, right? There are kids that have a house now, that have a roof over their head, that have a children's home where they can live, where they can hear about Jesus. If you went to Nepal with me this past January, we got to worship with our kids. We got to sit in this little cramped, not as warm that time of the year in January. Go back there in July and do that same experience. But we got to sit in this room and we got to share our hearts and we got to hear the hearts of those around us and we got to sing to a God who loves us and who loves them. And we get to sit alongside these kids. But, man, let's not miss out on loving them. When we sit alongside of them and we provide a shelter for them and we reach in our pockets and we give so that they're helped, so that they have their basic needs met, may we not get so wrapped up in that that we forget to love them, because it's possible, church. There are moments in time where I personally struggle. And I say, man, if I just had this money, if I just had the money that I need to do this thing, if I had this, if I had this, if I had this, and I forget to weep over them. I forget to pray for them. I forget to love them as my own. Sit in that room with me someday. Sing to a God who loves them desperately. Look into their eyes and open your heart to them. May we not forget to love them first. And I think I talked through some of these stats when I was here before, but it never hurts to rehash when it comes to stats, because I don't know about you, but I'm a passion guy. Like, I'm an emotional guy. Like, I cry, and which just hurts some people's feelings. But including my wife, which is good. She's not here for the emotional sermon today. But the stats are staggering. There's 7.67 billion people on the planet today. I heard a pastor say recently that there's more people in the country of India alone than there is in the entire Western Hemisphere of the world. Think about that. And all the countries represented in North, South, Central America, all the little island nations, and there's more people in one giant country in Asia than there is in the entire Western Hemisphere. And you know what? Most of those people don't know about Jesus. Most of those people have never heard about him. There's 3.19 billion people, billion with a B, 3.19 billion people that are considered unreached with the gospel. That means that if they wanted to this morning, if they even knew that there was a choice, they couldn't wake up and go to a church like Beachside. They couldn't drag themselves out of bed on a rainy Sunday morning and go to church if they wanted to. They couldn't find a Bible to read if they wanted to. They don't have a pastor or a Christian down the street to come and to tell them about a Jesus who loves them that they so desperately need to hear. You know, I split the room, I think, here before, but I'll do it again. There's 7.67 billion people on the planet today. There's 3.19 billion people who don't have access to Jesus currently. And it's something like this. If we split the room here, congratulations, Mike. You're on the good side. If we split the room here and we look at all of you on this side and we say, congratulations, you have access to Jesus. You know that there is a choice. You weren't raised in a community where you grew up only knowing Buddhist rituals or Hindu rituals or the Muslim faith. Listen, there are people out there on the planet who were born into a situation like that, that were born into the Buddhist faith, and that are carrying out rituals even today, even now as I speak here today. And if I walked into their house today and I asked them what they're doing, they would look at me and they would look with a bewildered look on their face and they'd say, "What, you don't do this?" Because they think everyone does that. They don't even realize that there's a choice. That's a very real thing. So congratulations. You have access to Jesus. You have a Bible or a person down the street that can tell you about Jesus. You have a church that you can go to. I'm sorry, you don't. This is the reality of the statistics that grip our planet today. But it's more than just stats. It's people like you. It's people who absolutely have zero access to the gospel, who don't have a Bible or a person down the street to tell them about Jesus. They couldn't go to church if they wanted to. I'm sorry, you were born in a village where half or more of the kids die before the age of 5. You were born into a village where you don't even know that there's a Jesus out there who loves you, who came to save you, who sacrificed for you. Our hearts can become guarded, even as our minds are challenged by stats like this. So may we let down any guards on our hearts and make an infinitely greater impact on the hopeless and helpless than any of us can ask or think. God is a God of the infinite possibility, if nothing else. God is a God of love. We all know specific needs of people around us, right? We can look around our community. We can see specific needs of people. We can see desperate needs of people. We can see urgent even and ongoing needs of people in this community, in this state, in this country, and around the world. If you've ever been on a trip with me, a few of you have, you probably even know the face and the name of somebody who has some desperate needs, who have some urgent and ongoing needs. You probably know their specific needs, right? Some of you have been able to reach out and give to those specific needs as you've seen them. Man, I applaud that. I applaud that because there are far too many people who see a need but don't reach into their pocket. There are far too many people who see a need but don't pray to a God who meets needs. So may we be at God's disposal, church. May we be at God's disposal to be the means by which these needs are met. It's one thing to know that people have need in the world. It's a completely different thing to speak to the God of the infinite, to speak to the God who owns it all, to lay down ourselves in front of that God and say, "God, make me available. Give me access." May we be at their disposal. Now, I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what it means for each of us. I can't begin to know everybody's specific situation. I know for us it was full-time missions. It was, how do we help people in absolutely desperate need in the best way that we know how, with the gifts and talents that God's given us? How do we get to do that full time? And for us, it was coming on board with Manna Worldwide. It was being assistant directors for Asia. It was traveling and leading teams. It was showing people and sharing this passion that we have for people, for the work of God around the world with hundreds and thousands of people who can take on mission, who can bring back, whose hopefully lives are changed. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what God has for you, but listen. Whatever it is, may we be at his disposal. Whatever it is, may we give it to God. Whatever he's blessed you with. And we talk about tithe, and we talk about giving, and we talk about giving back to God a percentage of what he's given to us. You know, you hear all this church kind of lingo and this Christianese, lingo. It's all his. May we be willing to write that blank check that I talked about when I first came here. Say, God, whatever it is, yes, may we be at your disposal. My prayer for the church. In Luke 5, verses 12 through 13, I'm going to begin to wrap up. You know, I always say that like two or three slides before I'm done, because it seems like the pastor thing to do. You know, every good pastor says, I'm going to begin to wrap up, and then, you know, it stretches for another 20 minutes, but I got to quit picking on pastors. Luke 5, verses 12 through 13. It says, in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. It says, Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him and said, I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Let me tell you something. I mean, as if leprosy isn't a thing that we all know that we don't want to touch and get next to, right? There are still people suffering with leprosy in India and Nepal and different places around the world, specifically throughout Asia. But during this time period in the Middle East, in the context of Jesus' life, people would ostracize. People would kick these people who are suffering for leprosy out of the village. They would kick them out of the town. They didn't want to go close to them. They pushed them as far as they could away from other people. They pushed them as far as they could away from normal people. They pushed them as far away as they could from regular people, healthy people, people that they considered sinless. They pushed them away. They held them not only at arm's distance, but they would run away to stay away from them. And Jesus does something very, very different in Luke 5. Jesus not only comes close to a person with leprosy. He doesn't just give an ear to his problems. He doesn't just listen to the problem, does he? Listen, Jesus was healing people who were in other towns, right? I mean, Jesus could heal somebody without getting close to them if he wanted to, right? He'd done it before. Jesus didn't have to get close to a man with leprosy, did he? I mean, it's the Son of God. His rightful place is at the right hand of God, sitting on a throne with power. Many of us would think not standing in front of a man with leprosy. Right? But Jesus didn't just go to his village. Jesus didn't just listen to him when he spoke. It says Jesus reached out and touched him. You know, I'm asked all the time when I set up a table, or, you know, I'm going to be standing at the back and would love to talk with you after the service. But when I'm standing there, one of the most regular things that people come up and say to me is, why should I spend $2,500 or $3,000 to go on a mission trip? Why should I spend the money to go when I could just send the money to help people? And I definitely wouldn't stand in front of you and say, don't send the money, right? But the truth of the matter is, the money that gets raised for mission trips isn't going to be sent anyway. I mean, in most cases. But it's bigger than that. As a church, my prayer for us is we'll follow Jesus. And we'll follow him wherever he goes. We'll follow him whatever he does. We'll follow him even to the point of going to the person in need, of even reaching out and touching the need of somebody else on the other side of the planet, if he leads us to do that. I'm asked that question all the time, and I try to answer it as best I can, and really, you know, bring up some of these points. And I don't know if I get through. I don't know. Sometimes maybe I do. But I hope I get through this morning. My prayer for us is that we will follow Jesus wherever he goes. We'll follow whatever he does. And Jesus goes to people. Jesus doesn't leave them on the outside of the village. He brings them into his life. He comes into their life. He, through salvation, enters into the person who was sinful before and makes them clean. He's not just aloof. He's not just distant. He's with us. He's living through us. If Jesus touched people when he was here on the planet, and he's living in you today, wouldn't he ask you to reach out your hand? Wouldn't he? If he's living in us and through us, wouldn't he move us to do what he did? So may we move towards those in need, church. May we not just see them over there. May we not just pray for them over there. Listen, I know there are circumstances and situations that keep people from going, but listen, pray, give, serve, love people. Follow Jesus. And then I want to tell the story of this little girl. This is, you know, on Facebook, when it gives you like those like historical posts that you've made, I forget what it is. It's like 3 years ago, you posted this picture, right? And every year, this little girl pops up in my timeline again from a post that I made in 2015 about her. This is Anisha. And truthfully, when I see that post, I'm elated. I'm excited. I remember the time when I met her. And so I love that part of it. But there's a part of it that I can't shake that sort of breaks me. 2015, massive earthquakes hit Nepal. You guys have heard our story. That's really what led us to do full-time missions in the way that we do it now. We mobilized people and we led teams and we went to serve and lead and help others. Anisha lived in a village called Koplung. And it's in the mountains of Nepal. And my team and I went there to visit this village to serve these people whose homes had been all destroyed. We went there to rebuild homes for people. And truthfully, I didn't know what I was getting into. And I met this little girl named Anisha. She's probably 10, 11, 12 years old at this point, or in this picture. And I haven't seen her since. I looked into her eyes and I told her that I love her, and I told her about a Jesus who loves her. She's a believer in Christ among very few in that region of the world. I gave her gifts and things, and then I walked away and I came back here to my pretty cush life, really. And every year when this picture pops up in my timeline, I'm reminded of the scars on her face. I'm reminded of the scar just here, the scars around her mouth, and I wonder how she got them. I didn't want to ask when I was there. And I worry that now she's 15, 16 years old, maybe 14, 15. And it's an age when many little girls are trafficked from that region, actually about the age that she was in this picture. A lot of little girls are taken from villages in desperate situations like that. And I pray that that didn't happen to Anisha. I look into her eyes. Man, I praise God that she knows Jesus. But there is nothing like going and looking her in the face. There is nothing like going and loving her in person. There is nothing like going and serving her, being the hands and feet of Christ. Listen, this is personal. I wonder if she's still living in that mud-caked hut that they had painted. They had made it look pretty nice. There were still buffaloes living under the edge, over the overhang on the side right by where they slept. They were still in desperate need for food. I don't think she changed clothes the whole time we're in the village for 2 weeks. Let us not forget the one, church. Let us not forget the impact that Jesus made on the single people that he met, that he touched, that he reached out to. I pray that one day I'll get to Koppelung and maybe I'll see Anisha again. I'll go to her house. I remember where it was. But church, there are thousands of little kids in Nepal and India and Thailand and Cambodia and Vietnam and China and all these places that not only are living in squalor, living in desperate situations, that just need us to look them in the eyes and tell them that Jesus loves them. But who desperately need us to give, who desperately need us to come, to meet them, to serve them, to love them. So may we, church, may we not shirk. May we not push off the responsibility that Jesus calls us to take for girls like Anisha. Father God, hear our desperate plea. May the broken be healed. May the hopeless have hope. May those in pain be comforted. May your church reach out and touch people as Jesus did. May we not get so caught up in our lives and our busyness, in our schedules and our routines. May we not get so caught up in our culture that we forget to love people. God, I pray that Anisha is safe. I pray that little girls and little boys, men and women, throughout the villages, the cities of the world, will be reached by the good news of Christ, and that you will mobilize us to be your hands and feet, to reach out, to touch them. In Jesus' name, amen.